Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Hello, friend.
Hello, Lauren. What's happening?
I'm just so happy to see your face and talk to you today.
Me too. I don't know how many times like you text, you're like, I miss you.
I know. Just for context, I just got home from my Sicily retreat, which was awesome. But yeah, not a lot of internet service while I was there. So we didn't get to do our usual back and forth messaging. And I would see that you left me like voice notes and I'd have to wait like overnight to read or to hear them. And it was just hard to have a conversation that way. But but I'm back.
It's okay.
We're both. And it's funny. We're like, I miss you, even though we don't even live in the same place.
You know, I was thinking about that too, because I think I was like, I miss you already, like when you were leaving. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting on the couch and I was like, but it's not like she's next door. Like to physically miss you. But yeah, I don't
but
know.
It's different.
It's like, something about, you know, just not being able to like have access to you just anytime I want, I think.
Yeah. And like we're right now, we're one time zone away, but during the trip, we were six time zones away from each other. So that makes a difference. And then, yeah, there were like little spots where I could get Wi-Fi and then it would go out constantly. So it was just too hard to try to keep up with communications, even like socials. I thought I would like be posting a lot of reels and such. And I was like, I can't be like spending all this time on this. Like I am teaching and momming and, you know, doing all the things. So anyway, it's good to see your face and for us both to be home right now. It's just been like the summer of travels. And I don't know, it feels like we're moving into a new space right now, which is what we're talking about today.
Yes.
New season.
I am so excited about this season, not just because autumn is my favorite season of all. And you know, it's so funny. I've always been attached to this season, not really realizing like this is like a favorite. You know, mm-hmm. I got married in this season. I just love the colors and just everything about what fall has for us. But yeah, we're going to like get into talking about Mabon. It's, you know, the eighth Sabbat holiday. It's the last turn for the wheel of the year for those of you who follow it. But if you don't, like, it's also like a good way to like really just like see the year in a whole different way and just kind of like be more in tune with the rhythm of the earth, I feel like. So yeah. What do you think, Lauren? You could get into talking about all things fall.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And yeah, for anyone who's not familiar with the Wheel of the Year, it's, yeah, these eight Sabbats, which are like, sorry, still jet lagged, words aren't coming to me very easily. Oh, like observances, eight observances during the year. And they take place on like the equinox or the solstice, and then like directly in between each one. And it's not something I like grew up with or was aware of whatsoever until really like the last couple of years. And it's been really fun to dive into them a little bit, to like start some new rituals with my family. And I like them because they're not really like, do they have gods or goddesses attached or can they? Yeah, but it's not really about that so much. It's more about observing like what's happening in nature and reflecting on what's happening within and just celebrating this passage of time. And the fact that we get to do it eight times a year is pretty great too, because I think like, you know, the big holidays are kind of spaced apart. The ones that most of us observe, and Christmas and Thanksgiving are kind of together, but yeah, that's kind of it. And then I don't know. There's just something about feeling more connected with the passage of time and the way that things cycle.
Yeah. And it's just something to kind of like, I don't know. And I feel like you might have touched on this a little bit, but you like you were saying with the big holidays, like for me, it's becoming very, very commercial. And I know that you and I, we've chatted about this before when we talk about like how we want to raise our kiddos and what we do and don't want to do. And for me, I found myself getting to the cycle of like always, okay, here's the holiday. Like, what am I going to buy? What am I going to get? What thing, you know? And there was like no real like meaning or intention behind it. And even when it comes to like, you know, Christmas, which I celebrated growing up, you know, it was about, oh, how many gifts am I going to get Macy on, and what are we going to do, and what is she going to think? And yeah, the excitement is great, but I also think if we really want to like be living intentionally, we can do that by aligning with the rhythms of the earth. And I want to say when I like started digging into like the Wheel of the Year and I like was looking it up, it was like, oh, it's the pagan holidays. And for whatever reason, the word pagan had this like negative connotation to me. I don't know why, but it's just simply other than the major belief. And when you think about like what spirituality is, you know, it's not this major religious system. It's other than that. And so why not, if you are really stepping into this spiritual space, aligning yourself and intuning yourself with the rhythms of the earth through these Sabbath, you know, pagan Sabbath holidays in this Wheel of the Year. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I really love how you put that. And it'll be our next Sabbath episode. But going back to like ancestry, like this isn't necessarily, I don't think the word pagan like existed, you know, pre-Christian times. But for many of us, like this is our lineage. This is our ancestry. We've just been removed from it for many, many generations. So by realigning with it, even if it's not 100% true to like your particular lineage, because these have kind of become, you know, we've grouped a lot of different types of celebrations that are pre-Christian together. I think that, yeah, it's a way to kind of go back to how things were in a way, which is needed on some level, I think, between people or between humans right now, because part of the issue with modern times, I think, is our disconnection from the earth. So I think anything that connects us back to the earth also connects us back to our souls, to our spirits. Mm-hmm. So Rashida, what is Mabon?
Yeah, so Mabon is one of the 8 holidays. It's the last one when it comes to, well, we also have Samhain that comes up in October, but this is the mark of the autumn equinox. So this is celebrated on the autumn equinox. This year it is September 23rd, and it is almost like a harvest festival. It's the second harvest where we, you know, we show gratitude. We honor this balance of dark and light. This is the time now where light is going to be the same as the darkness in the world. And I think Mabon for me is just like a great time to just look at the balance within our lives. Also like looking at what we have harvested through this year. And also letting go of anything that is no longer serving. I know like this, that phrase gets used a lot, but like really looking at how the wheel is and what this time signifies, it's a great time to let some of that go as we start to move in to the darkness, of the next turn of the wheel. So yeah, it's a harvest. It's the second harvest, and it marks the autumn equinox. And it's always celebrated, usually between September 21st and September 24th. It just depends on the year. But this year, it is the 23rd.
So it's a really like balanced one. The light and the dark are equal. And I think for a lot of people who live in seasonal places, it's their favorite time of year. there's this like sort of relief that comes after summer and the weather gets cooler. And yeah, it's all about like delicious food and kind of like starting to get cozy. And there's something about, so there's something about harvesting. I like how you talked about letting go. And this is all coming back to our September Oracle reading too. So if you have listeners, if you haven't listened to it, I would definitely go back because we bring up some of these concepts as well. But the harvest is letting go. It's the plants like letting go of their fruits. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we celebrate. So it's like an ending, but it's also the beginning, right, of this darker time. And I think it's so healthy to have these, like, mark these times of celebration and to, like, take personal stock. Because it's so easy just to, like, go through life in a linear, like, straight way and to, like, I don't know, maybe, like, expect all times to be harvest time in a way.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, like, that's how our culture is. Like, we can literally go get a banana anytime
here. Yeah. We're not eating seasonally. Like, yeah, we get like, I mean, you know, like it's the dragon fruit or the star fruit that I see in my grocery store at certain times. But you're right. I can get any of the main fruits at any given time. I've never thought about it like that, Lauren.
Yeah, I think for most of us, there is this disconnection. And I know I've talked about like my garden a lot this year, but it has helped me feel a little bit more in tune with what's going on. And we were talking before this about how, so my Sicily retreat was like on a farm or a masseria in the middle of Sicily. And first of all, this place is so cool. Like the same family has owned this farm since the 17th century. Wow. So before I came, I thought it was a 17th, like I thought that's when it was built, but it's actually ancient. Like it's probably 1,000 years old or more. And they've been cultivating this land for all of that time as well. So they're very in touch with what's growing all the time because they grow most of their own food. And if they don't, like they're getting milk or cheese from like the sheep farmer who's I don't want to say down the road because the road is very windy. I don't know how to say it, like in the next village or whatever. And like right now they're harvesting almonds and they're getting ready to harvest olives and grapes here soon. They like make their own wine and olive oil. And yeah, we could walk and just like pick an apple from a tree and eat it, or a pear from a tree, or a fig from a tree. But yeah, their lives are still very much centered around like what is actually growing around them at the time. Like they're not importing a bunch of stuff like we do. They don't have the grocer right down the street to just get anything from anywhere in the world. It's what makes like a lot of their cuisine so uniquely distinct in them. Also because of climate change, like some of the things that have typically grown well and have been like such the center of their culture, like tomatoes, for instance, aren't growing so well right now. And there are some new things like avocados are doing better. So it's kind of interesting how directly affected they are by that. And yeah, I was just very much aware while living on that land for a week of how abundant it is and how kind of symbiotic the relationship between humans and the land is. And like every yoga practice, I just found myself like at the end and the beginning, like talking about the land and thanking the land and like really being on it and experiencing it, because it does have so much to teach us about like who we are, because we are nature. Yeah. I just think, I know I've gone off on kind of a diatribe, but the way many of us live is just so, so disconnected from that. And it felt very refreshing and grounding and like tranquil to be so connected.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it seriously and truly, when you can live in that way, I think it's really easier to one, recognize that we are nature, but also take the cues that are around us, you know, here where we are, we see the four seasons, right? But because we live in this, you know, always harvest time, can get whatever at the drop of a dime time, it's really hard for us to like see the subtle changes that are happening, not only within nature or the earth, but within ourselves. So I think it was really cool that you like really tuned into that, and honored the land for that. You know, more and more I find myself doing that, thanking where my food is coming from, thanking the land for providing, even just like if you go and visit another state or another country, just having a little bit of reverence around this particular land and what it's offering, and how it's supporting us is really, really important as well. But I mean, and that's really what Maybun's about. It's a time for gratitude, really, truly, and honestly. You know, we give thanks for the abundance of Mother Earth, which it sounds like you did really, really well while you were there. And, you know, also literally and spiritually, it's a great time to really check in. So, and really reflect on where we've been and where we're going. And then also, like, after reflecting and having those moments, finding some presence in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think gratitude is such key. And, you know, it's wonderful that that's something we do observe, like, well, later in the season around Thanksgiving. But it's something to definitely consider when it comes to nature, because it's easy to take and take and take and never give back. And maybe we think like, okay, I'm paying for this food, that's the way I'm giving back. But like really considering where it came from and all of the hands that touched it and nature itself is so important. I think about, like in Sicily, you can meet the person who is like harvesting, growing and harvesting the food. In the U.S., we have such a corporate food system. Like, can you go to the farmer's market? Absolutely. And meet your farmer. But for most people, they're buying food that was like, you know, grown in a commercial way and then harvested and cared for by folks who probably like aren't from the U.S. and who are hired as very cheap labor, who aren't necessarily treated well. So I think like not to like make yourself sad every meal that you have, because you have to eat and like not everyone can have the time to get local farm grown food and not everybody can afford it. To like take that time of gratitude for each and every person who made this food available to you and cheap to you. I feel like, you know, wherever you're getting your food from, and this isn't all about food, the harvest, it's just an easy way to like connect with it. Spending that time in gratitude and like truly giving back. And giving doesn't have to be a gift, like a physical gift. It can be a blessing, like really sending your blessings and gratitude to back to the earth and back to all these folks is just an way to be more mindful around what we're consuming.
Yeah. And it's also too, I want to come from the perspective of someone who grew up saying like grace before we had to eat our food. And mm-hmm. I kind of like, as I've made this shift, have been a little opposed to that. But this is actually, you know, honestly and truly, like, it feels so resonant to do this. It doesn't have to be this like long drawn out thing, you know, just take a moment, you know, really see what's on your plate and like physically, not physically, but energetically, just like attach to like the things and give your gratitude towards the, like you said, the hands that have prepared it and also made it possible. I like doing this now instead of a grace, or even like teaching my children grace, because I do want to give due and thanks to who provided this for me at this time. So I really appreciate you speaking to that aspect of it.
I love that. And I think like observing these holidays are there an opportunity to start creating some new rituals, which I know we're both doing. So we can think of it the same way with like grace. Like, I'm not going to say it the same way that my dad typically does. And, you know, I'm glad he has that ritual and he does that. But yeah, it's like, it can feel like a lot of work, like figuring out what are my values and how do I express that through these rituals. So for me, like, I'm not going to say Heavenly Father, thank you for this food, because that doesn't resonate for me. And like, you know, there are a lot more people that go into it. Like, but Mom's sitting right there and she made the food. I'm just kidding. Yeah. but like, yeah, saying like, thank you to all the hands that touch this food. Thank you to Mother Earth. You know, those are things that resonate. And yeah, this is making me want to be more mindful about mealtimes with my family. We don't get to sit down and eat together like every meal or anything like that. A lot of times it's me and Gemma. So it is something I can probably be more assertive about before we eat, because life can just be a little chaotic and we're eating out of packages and like not always thinking about it. But yeah, the last week in Sicily was a really nice little reset because everything was made from scratch and it was made with love and so delicious. I was looking through the book I reference for these, which is called Circle Round, Raising Children in Goddess Traditions by Starhawk, Diane Baker, and Anne Hill. And this book, it really talks about how to like incorporate children into these rituals too. So there's recipes and stories and songs and stuff for each of these observances, each of these Sabbats. But I like in talking about Mabon, they are talking about this equal exchange. Like they say, everything in nature is constantly giving to and receiving from everything else. The oxygen we breathe in is exhaled by the trees and they take in the carbon dioxide we breathe out. Bees sip nectar from the flowers and in return carry their pollen to other blossoms so that the plants can make seeds. Nothing exists separately from the whole. Nothing exists separately from the whole. So I think that for me is something to really contemplate and think about how to remember this connection through our daily lives. Because yeah, so many of us are really, it's like we have to be slapped in the face to like remember that we're connected.
Yeah, it's one of those things I recently realized. I stopped doing my quote unquote grounding practice, and you know, not to say that you have to like physically go and do something, but it's always like a really good practice of mine to go and just like put bare feet to the earth and like ground. Mm-hmm. And our body is set up that way. So I'm going to start doing that again. Part of it was like how hot it was outside, mm-hmm. but I'm going to start doing that again. But you know, when you create these like moments to remember, like we are part of the whole, like this, we are not separate. We're just, you know, separate expressions of the one thing, like, you know, having these rituals and these practices, being mindful of these times and following these holidays. It's not some weird thing, right? I love the fact that, you know, we have the Thanksgiving, the Christmases and different things like that to allow us to slow down and really focus in on our family. But our families, that's supposed to be what it's about. But, you know, when you start getting intentional about your life, using this wheel of the year to like create little rituals or moments in time that is outside of like mainstream, I feel like it gives it a little more flavor. It gives it a little more substance, a little more meaning, if you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, just like having these moments, finding like rituals that work for you and your family. You were saying how you and Gemma, you know, it's just you two most of the time, and you know, having like blessings and being more intentional with mealtime. Like, yeah, Daniel and I, we recently revamped our whole thing of what we do. It used to be where we would get the kiddos to bed first, and then we would sit down and have our meals together. we were finding that we were eating very, very late. So now it's a time of we're all sitting down together. And I think it's a really beautiful moment for us to create this new ritual around honoring, one, letting go, releasing and letting go, talking about what's going on with our day, having that check-in, but also like talking about what's going on in nature, right? Like Lauren, I showed you like what my dining room looks like. I have these two really beautiful windows that show our front yard, but I love the fact that having these rituals, being in tune with Wheel of the Year, you know, and even Mabin, like my favorite time, the start of fall, it just allows us to really, I don't know, fine tune our life in a way, not feel so rushed, because I really felt that way beforehand. And I just felt like the year was passing and was just marked by these like marketing holidays, these big holidays that, you know, for me personally, I would rather not participate in, because everyone's participating in it. Everything is so busy. There's so much to do. There's so much to buy. There's all this big to do. I'm finding more that I'm really want to like lean into like just the small moments, and having this Wheel of the Year really helps with that for me. Sorry, I think I went on a tangent as well, but
I mean, that's what we're here for. I think it's a really beautiful thing being so intentional about creating the space to be in nature and talk about nature and to reconnect with this turning wheel with our families, because it does take some effort to do that. It's not like this was passed down to us. We've been disconnected, like we were talking about, from this for a long time. So it does take like quite a bit of intention and energy, I think, to create these new things, but it's such a legacy for our families. You know, it's something our children are going to be able to pass down when they're older, and maybe we'll like kind of reseed the planet with these beings who are more in tune and connected with the earth and its seasons. So it's a very cool thing. I don't think we're going to move out to the country and become homesteaders anytime soon, but having our little garden and visiting the farmer's market and creating these rituals, you know, it's something that we have the privilege and the ability to do. So I'm excited about it. And I'm really grateful, because I think kids are such a good motivation, you know, to start some of these things. It can be harder to do it when you're just on your own or kind of going along with the crowd or, you know, celebrating family holidays, stuff like that. But like kids are really this kind of reset in a way, like this, they give us the motivation to be more intentional.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. And you're right. The motivation, it makes you want to, because you're like, this is like, this little being is my responsibility, and I want to impart all the wisdom and knowledge in the best way possible, meaningful, not just fill their little heads up with just useless facts or useless moments, but, you know, really being intentional. And, you know, a way that I find that I do that, Lauren, is like through my family altar. I don't know about you, but I have a family altar in our living room. Now that Miles is a little mobile, he's very active and wants to like grab a lot of stuff, but luckily he doesn't do it all the time. And I know as he gets older, he'll learn to like not touch that. But when it comes to Mabin, like a really good way to celebrate this moment is also by like redoing your family altar, if you have an altar, if you have a personal altar, or even just like a space. And I say that when I first got into like altar work, I thought it had to be this like really big thing, like I had to have all the things and all the crystals and all the whatever, and you don't. Like an altar is literally just a sacred space that you can come to. It's like a focal point. And so, you know, when you do your altar, you can put gourds or apples, you can make, you know, any type of offerings. I know my family and I, we like to go out here soon, we'll go out and we'll start walking and gathering acorns and pine cones. And the kids have a little bowl that they'll put their offerings in. We have a Mama Gaia that sits on the altar. And it's just a focal point in the home for us to like come back to that intention, come back to what's going on. And our altar tries to show the passage of time in that way as well. So yeah, a really good way to celebrate Mabon. One good way is to create an altar around that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think of like, I don't know. It's funny because a lot of these things are things that people do just in a different, like with a different intention. Like they decorate their mantle for these different holidays, or like it's fall, so we start putting gourds on the mantle. Like these are all like vestiges of these celebrations. And I think like for a lot of people, they can probably do what they're already doing, but just with more like appreciation and recognition, right? Like people go apple picking, people eat foods with pumpkin in them, people do things that are like celebratory with friends and family. You know, they're, I feel like this is already like built into our culture in a way. It's just, yeah, how do we do it with a little bit more intention and appreciation?
Yes. And not just doing it because it's there to do, but why are we doing, exploring that? Why, you know, why are we going apple picking every single year? What about that is calling to us? What are we, you know, are we enjoying the harvest, or is it just like another activity to do with the kids? And even if it is another activity just to do with the kids, like how can you create more intention with your children and explain to them like why this is the moment to do this? You know, I think you're absolutely correct. It is built into our society. It's, I think it's, you know, some of these traditions, it's kind of hard not to have that, you know, built in, but that intentional piece, you know, less marketing, less commercial, less like buying and getting the new fall decor or whatever. But like, are you placing these around your home with intention? Like, are you blessing your home? Are you clearing space to add these things? Like, what are you doing? And, you know, taking it from a different level of just decorating to like having that like meaning behind it.
Yeah, that reminds me. I wish I could think of the name of the book right now, but I have one about like hearth witchery. So there, it's like basically caring for your home with intention and ritual. And it definitely goes along with everything we're talking about, because it does talk about like decorating the mantle. It even talks about like little folklores of like little elves and things that live in your house, like whether or not to give them gifts.
Oh, cool.
it talks about like food. Oh, that reminds me of a good thing to do for Mabon. Well, a couple. One, the book that I talked about, The Circle Round, has a pumpkin bread recipe. So that's a great way to like make Mabon bread. There's a lot of bread recipes for these different Sabbats. And the other one, which is in this hearth witch book, is what are they called? Like when you do the hot water pots on the stove and put different spices and things in them. Well, you can use it as like a spell. Like, so you just put, you boil water on the stove and then you put spices or plants or whatever has to do with a particular like season or your intention. But this time of year, you know, putting cinnamon, putting, I don't know, probably like star anise, putting like the very like chai fall pumpkin-y scents and flavors in there is something that you can do with intention. I'm not explaining this very well right now. Please forgive me. But there are so many things you can do just around your house to add that bit of intention in that's beyond like lighting a pumpkin spice candle, you know?
And you know how we love our pumpkin spice. But yeah, absolutely. Like the simmer pot that you were talking about.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Simmer pot.
I'm like,
simmer
pot you were talking about. Like, you know, and it kind of does give you like this witchy feel. Like, yes, it's like to, you know, like create a scent in your home and it's pleasant. But all of these things, be spices or fruits, the correspondence, they have correspondence and meaning behind them. And as you're like doing this, you know, cutting the apple for the slice or cutting the orange for its slice, like having that like intention as you drop it in your pot, as you like make this like cauldron, so to speak, like I really love that feeling and that look and that meaning behind it. You know, you are creating a spell. You are creating magic with what you're doing. And our magic comes from the intention that we put into the things that we do.
So. Absolutely. Boom.
What else? So I know you said simmer pot. I said the altar. What was the other thing you said?
Oh, I was talking about, baking pumpkin bread.
Baking. Yeah, we can also do bonfires, which is like my absolutely favorite thing to do in the fall. I love this little ritual of, and you can either just do it with your immediate family, you and your kiddos, or you can have friends that come over. You know, Mayban fall is definitely fire season, I feel like, but you know, it doesn't have to be like this party where people are drinking all the time and it's just a thing. Like really have people come over, bring something. Maybe it's a potluck or something that you've baked. And, you know, sit around the fire and, you know, share your gratitude. Have a gratitude practice. And then also do, you know, a releasing practice as well because fire helps release things back. But yeah, I really enjoy like a good bonfire. And I used to do this before, not the whole ritual practice, but we used to do bonfires every fall and Daniel loved making them big, like huge. And I'm like, dude, I would like to have a house after this is all said and done. but yeah, there's just something about sitting around a fire and it comes back to like what we used to do back, way back is like really sit around the fire and share stories and our hearts with each other. And this season just reminds me of that. This Mayban is just the mark of like this season that reminds me of just, you know, connection and gratitude and intention. But what else? Do you have another one to share?
I do. Yeah. This is from the Circle Round book. So this is also a time of year, not just to celebrate like the plant harvest, but to celebrate our animal friends. they talk about like calling upon animal spirits, but they say like a really simple thing you can do is to bless your pets. So that might be like sprinkling them with water from your altar or just maybe like snuggling them and giving them lots of love and gratitude for being a part of your home.
I love this so much. It reminds me of, so yesterday, Macy, I've been working with the Rose, and you probably know we're going through the same training together and just really like it's been on my altar. I have a bunch of like knockout roses in my front, which aren't as fragrant as I would like to do some of the things that I've been trying to do with them. But Macyana, she gets rose petals and she saw me making rose water and she made rose water by leaving the petals outside to bake in the sun in a bowl of water. But you know what? She took the rose water and like put it on Ellie's back and like she put the petals on her back too. And it was like the cutest thing. Like she was so intentional about it. She was so like caring and loving and just showing her love to this animal that's a part of our lives. So when you said that, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, like these creatures bring us so much joy and they're such a huge reflection of, you know, parts of ourselves that we have forgotten, but also like the parts that, you know, we want to come into equilibrium with. Like when I rub my dog's head, I don't know, it's not just because I'm giving her pleasure, but there's just something about it that I'm drawn to, that I want to be a part of in this little dance between the two of us. But yeah, it made me think of this rose water thing that Macyana did, anointment, I should say. So that's really cool.
I think like talking to them can be really good too. Like I know I used to talk to my cats more before baby. And now remember to talk. I try to remember to talk to them and acknowledge them, because I feel like even if they don't totally understand, they understand on some level.
Yeah. Like, and it's the tone, like the tone in your voice, and like,
yeah,
just that cadence, that inner, that vibration that you're sharing with them.
Yeah. And I think in a way they do understand. Like, I had to have a talk with my cat Ollie a few weeks ago because he kept having accidents in the house, which is not something that he had before, but it was, I think, triggered by like diet and stress a bit. So I had to like sit and talk to him. I'm like, dude, you need to please go in your box. And I know, like, you know, making sure their health is good is important too. But like having this talk, I'm like, you need to go in the litter box. Like, it's very hard for us to like care for our home and care for you when you're doing this. And I don't think that alone did it, but he did start going in his box with a couple other changes. Unfortunately, we just got home from our trip. He didn't have one accident the whole time, and like it kind of started up again. So I think maybe the stress of like us leaving and then coming back might have caused it. But anyway, like now I remember to like actually talk to him about it and think that there's like a little something there where he can understand and you know, feel acknowledged in a way. I'll shift gears. One other thing they talk about is things you can do to restore balance to the earth. So that might be like going and picking up some trash on your land or in your neighborhood. It might mean like not driving for a day if that's something that you can do. Yeah, something to serve others. Even like just baking something and giving it to your neighbors. Like, what are ways that you can restore some balance? Something Gemma and I have been doing is like there's a creek next to our garden, and that's where we pump the water from. And she likes to walk in the creek. Like, we'll put our little Crocs on and walk through the creek. And we had a lot of big storms, and I noticed there was like a bunch of trash. And the first time we went, I didn't have anything to put the trash in. So we just kind of picked it up and put it on the side to get out of the water. But we remembered the next time to bring a bag with us and like pick up all the trash. And she loved it because it was fun and play for her. But it just felt like the right thing to do to like not leave all of that there, like in our water system. So that's an idea of something to do.
Yeah, we actually do that every quarter. And you're like, every quarter? That's only four times a year, but we have a lot of land.
Yeah.
So like, we'll collect the trash that's by the road. Like, it always seems to me that someone's always throwing something out. But anyway, but yeah, we'll have buckets and we'll go and collect trash, and we'll make it it's like a thing that we do. And it's so surprising to see, one, how much trash we find that blows. I mean, we live out in the middle of nowhere, and we just are constantly having trash in our fields, and it doesn't look trashy, so to speak, but there is like this sort of like exchange. And I'm glad you like mentioned this one, because I would always just do it as like a chore, not really thinking about it as like this balance and this exchange of balance. So yeah, that's actually something to think about. And I also don't think it's like one of these things that you have to like go off and do this big like cleanup project with. You know, if you're at a park or you're at a place that you're just like kind of hanging around and you happen to see something, you know, pick it up and, you know, throw it away, either hold on to it or what have you. But I do like that feeling of like this exchange and this balance and giving back.
I love, that's one of the things I really love about our neighborhood, is people do take very good care of everything, because we all live on the same lake and everyone is very invested in it being like a clean, peaceful, beautiful place. So
yeah,
there are like organized lake cleanups. And for the most part, I think if people see something, whether they're on a walk or they're in the water, they pick it up and take responsibility, because it belongs to all of us. So I think it's, yeah, that's something I truly appreciate. So all of these things are about like, I think returning to be like stewards of this earth, or like realizing that that's what we are. We talk about owning land and man has conquered the earth and things like that. And truly, like, the earth is ancient. We are not, at least our bodies are not. So, like, really realizing that and realizing that we're just here for a short time and to hopefully leave the place better than we found it. You know, I think that's something that we can really observe this time of year.
Yeah, I really love that as well. And you know, like, this, I think you have to make this time, like, about you and your family and, you know, look at the significance and meaning, because, you know, we can go into the history and we can talk about the different gods and this and that, but, you know, just really, like, tuning into what does this time mean for you? What are some things that you just kind of want to take with you as the wheel starts to turn? And, you know, make it your own. I personally, this is like my favorite season. Again, I'm going to say it like so many times, but it's like my favorite season, but it's just, this time is just so potent for me. It's at the end of the year. It's just like, I feel like there's so much magic in the air when autumn rolls around. But yeah, I agree with you, Lauren. I really appreciate everything you've shared and your experience with Maven and how to celebrate. And I hope we gave some really cool information around this holiday and a way to kind of like check in and be intentional and show some gratitude in our lives.
I think so. And I think for anyone listening, if you'd like to like reflect on this, we can offer you a couple questions. So the first would be, what are you harvesting right now in your life? Mm-hmm. What are you letting go of? What are you making space for? Those are three questions. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Rashida, for offering up all of these beautiful rituals that you have already incorporated into your family life. Your family's so lucky and blessed to have you. And I'm excited, too. Like, it's always hard for me to say goodbye to summer because I love it so much. But I did put on a hoodie today because it's, like, in the 60s right now.
Ooh, is it really?
Yeah, we're having a couple cool days. And it feels good. Like, I'm ready for the cozy.
Yeah, it's cozy season. You know, there's cozy a term.
It's hygge.
There's, yeah. Did you tell me about that?
Maybe.
Okay. I was like,
it's like a Scandinavian term for that getting cozy. And winter is definitely like hygge season, but fall is the start of it because like the air starts getting cooler. We want to snuggle up. We want the fires, and it's all about like chilling and like celebrating and like really luxuriating in our time together. As families, as friends, like with your community.
I love that so much. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for all your wisdom as usual. Yeah. I enjoyed talking about this and celebrating my favorite season of the year. So thank you.
Thanks, friend. Love you. I'm going to go make some apple cider and I don't know, something else. I'll make some pumpkin bread.
Yeah, I need that recipe actually. Make sure you share that with me.
And snuggle up. All right, loves. Have a beautiful fall season, and we'll chat soon.
Happy Maven.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast, and be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.